Hello and welcome to the Project of You podcast.
Hi, this is Zita. I am a psychotherapist, relationship expert, and trauma expert.
Yes, and I am Nusha, just a normal everyday person who will be asking the questions on everyone's mind when it comes to personal development, self-growth, and just becoming a better, happier, healthy version of yourself.
And you are not normal, you're extraordinary.
Oh, yes. So today we thought it would be very on topic for us to speak about generational healing, and this is a topic that's close to our hearts. We will be running a retreat on this at the end of the month.
Yeah.
Which is really exciting. And we just wanted to ask you some questions about this, because generational healing and generational trauma are such fascinating topics. It's a mix between science, and it's a mix between psychology and spirituality, and it's got really everything under one umbrella.
Yeah. Well, and that's a very in-depth conversation about that, but how about if we just narrow it down to talk about mother? And because the topic of this retreat that we have in the end of the month is also, you know, about our relationship with our mother and how that relationship could have led to some psychological injury.
Yeah.
Because that, what you just asked was generational healing.
Yeah.
So basically then you're going to be talking about how trauma transferred through generation to generation to us.
Yeah.
And so you can't talk about healing without talking about trauma.
Yes.
Yes. And back to the subject, mother.
Yeah. So, okay, how important is a person's relationship to their mother? What is the impact of that into who you become as an adult?
Exactly. Who you become as an adult. Yeah. Who am I? And where I come from is very much, let's look at it from two different aspects. Biological aspect and psychological aspect. Some biological facts. You are made in her body.
Yeah.
You are raised the most significant 9 months of your life. It's in her body.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So what she ate, what she watched, the people she hang out with, you know, how was her psychological...
What was she feeling?
What she was feeling. Did she feel secure? Did she feel loved? Did she... How... Whatever she was, it's affect you and impact your development in her body. Just the biological aspect of it.
Yeah.
Okay. This is also, we then talking about generational trauma.
Yeah.
Generational healing. Generational, because we also need to go back to how this trauma through generation, through your DNA, through your genetics being transferred to you. Okay, so these are the biological factors. But then you also have psychological aspect of your mother.
Yeah.
The way she touches you. It gives you that sense of value. The way she looked into your eyes. So when your mother was changing your nappy, was she present or was she preoccupied?
This is a lot of pressure and responsibility for mothers. And not only does it often go underappreciated and under-acknowledged, but most women are underprepared for that level of responsibility.
Exactly. And for that... just that reason that women either been pressured through society or been pregnant unintentionally,
yeah,
or both, or they were not mature psychologically, emotionally, or even biologically.
Yeah. This is why we have so many damaged people.
This is why we have so many psychological injured human men and women. That is because the mother were either underskilled or unavailable. That make it, now we see those psychological injury. So these are all important, because as child, we are so, as an infant, we are so greedy. We are greedy for love, we're greedy for attention. Mm. We want as much as possible.
Well,
so there's
our,
no limit.
It's our best chance at survival.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then we have mothers that they choose, or, you know, they have to work,
yeah,
so they can meet the ends. Or, you know, provide food or
yes,
shelter.
Yeah.
They're not available constantly. So being a mother means a constant giving of yourself, a constant giving of your dreams.
My God.
A constant giving love without limit, without condition.
Well, I can't wait. Sounds amazing.
Now, what we're talking about is not to shame or blame or guilt any mother that listening to this conversation, or as a matter of fact, to scare anyone from becoming a mother.
Yes.
All right. It's important to understand ourselves as a mother, understand ourselves as a child coming from a mother, and understand that there is a, let's say hypothetically and very with positive lens, that even if we have any psychological wounds or injury, it's been unintentional.
Yes.
Because sometimes we do have abusive mother, we do have, you know, narcissistic mother, or we do have codependent mother.
Yeah.
Which for women, the second one is most
common.
Common.
And I guess this is where generational trauma comes in, because that mother is enacting the trauma that she inherited from whatever dysfunctional
yes,
mother figure that she
yes,
had growing up.
Yes.
It's a lot. And it's very easy, and we've all done it growing up. It's very easy to, as you said, shame, blame, and guilt mm-hmm, our mothers, whether it was intentional or not, for the mistakes they did and the damage that they caused us, either directly or indirectly. Mm. How, as a professional and as an expert in this, how would you guide someone to a place of forgiveness, and why is that important?
Well, the place of forgiveness is also a place of growth. It's also a place to take charge and responsibility for yourself, because you can't be wounded. You can't be using the weapon of blaming and shaming your
yeah,
mother and expecting to win.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be full of resentment and carrying, literally
mm-hmm,
carrying the burden, that heavy burden, and expecting to go a long way, because you get exhausted.
But sometimes the wound is so big, and sometimes the actions of the mother figure, who is that their one job is to love us
mm,
and protect us, and if they failed, and if they failed very spectacularly at that,
so the job also is a role,
yeah,
the role being given to mothers, that
yes,
this is your job,
yeah,
to do that. This is because you can also expect the same expectation from your father.
Oh, people don't do that,
though. People do that. Exactly.
No, you never expect the same thing.
The whole pressure is on the mother.
100%.
The whole, like, the mother is this holy figure that is requires so many, you know, sacrificial...
And moving parts and...
Behaviors and, you know, psychological strength. And the mother is the tree of life. And the mother is that. The mother is that. With a minimum... support,
yes,
giving to mother, giving this role to play, and they don't receive the support. You know, they give them this job description, throw them
into the deep end,
without support. So the process of forgiving, why is it important? Because you first need to understand so you can forgive.
Yeah, and empathize.
And empathize.
Which I know can be hard. If you've got the resentment and you're carrying that pain with you, and if, you know, your mother's actions did so negatively impact your future and your ability to be a happy, balanced, successful adult, it is so easy to carry that resentment and that blame.
But it's not easy. It's not easy. It's exhausting.
Yeah.
I think people mistakenly get comfortable with being uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. It's a known field for them to walk around and feel sad, feel angry, feel resentful, feel all of those negative feelings, because it's known to them, so they can live with it. They've been living with it all their life, so it's very familiar for them. But is it a right way of doing it? Aren't they exhausted? And the answer is yes, they are exhausted. That's why they're coming to counseling, because they don't want any more of those negative feelings. They want to put it down somewhere. And that's what they, when they're coming to the therapy, they hope that they can leave it here. They hope they can drop that feel of heaviness.
The weight.
The weight of exhaustion. So it's important to understand and forgive. It's whether your mother was a narcissistic or your mother was codependent.
Yeah.
We're definitely expecting to see a wounded, psychologically wounded child, and is we can work with that, and we can heal our past, we can heal our psychological wounds, but it requires people to take more proactive role in their healing. So what you might be asking, okay, what to do? Then I know I'm psychologically injured. I know I didn't receive a sufficient mothering. What do I need to do? A great question. So as a child, we receive not quite a sufficient mothering. Number one, we accept that what I received, it wasn't sufficient. You know, we can later perhaps we can add a list of questions here under this podcast that you can go and answer those questions to identify some of your needs that hasn't been met. So let's say good mother, there is a particular characteristic about good mothers, is that they help the child to be seen. They help their child or infant to feel like they belong and they want it and they are loved and valued. They, big part of their role as a good mother is to make their child or infant feel safe and secure, because mothers are the first relationship we ever experience in this physical world. You're made in her body. this is your first relationship. And if that relationship is not secured, if that relationship is not loving, it doesn't make you feel safe, guess what? From that moment, you may experience difficulty in relationships. You're growing up, you experience attachment issues. You know, if your mother loves, some mothers are very loving, there's no doubt about that. But is that love being consistent? That's a question that we need to ponder. And guess what? Mothers are also humans. There is no consistency in humans.
100%.
We want to control everything. We want to be consistent, but we also come, as a mother myself, I also come with those
baggages,
needs
wounds
in mind that hasn't been met.
Yeah.
So we all have this narcissistic aspect of our psyche that we do things consciously or unconsciously that I come first. Because I need it. I need it from my infancy. I still need it now. So that's why we shouldn't be shame, blame, or guilting the mothers, because they also are human like yourself that is experiencing some psychological wound. So we need to identify those holes, those needs that we believe, we perceive, at that given time, that my mother wasn't there to pick me up. My mother wasn't there to protect me. My mother didn't see me. I was in a train the other day coming to work, and I saw this mom with her little girl, maybe 3 or 4 years old, running in the train, screaming, while the mother was playing a game on her mobile.
It's a common sight. I've seen it.
Absolutely.
A lot of our listeners would have experienced something similar. And the mother is just overwhelmed and switched off.
And preoccupied.
Yeah.
I was dying to say something. I was dying to say, put your phone down and look at this beautiful little girl that wants your attention.
Yeah.
Wants you to looking at her eyes and tell her, are you tired, darling? Are you want to go home? These are the words what she was saying, by the way. She goes, are you tired? Do you want to go home? Do you want us to get off the train next? But she wasn't looking at the baby. She was looking at her mobile.
Yeah.
Not only looking, she was also playing a game. So this child will grow up and feel like, I'm not worthy of love and attention. So what's going to happen to this child? Most probably, she either become people pleaser to get the love and attention.
Yeah.
Or she will avoid getting into relationship because she knows that
she'll be disappointed.
She will be disappointed. There is no, like, people will be just preoccupied by themselves and by their love, by their life, and not giving to her what she needs.
When you're a child, you don't really have the context to understand things like, oh, when humans become overwhelmed, they switch off. My
Absolutely.
Mother is overwhelmed. This is not a personal shortcoming on my end. She's just going through it. She's going through stuff. Maybe it's relationship. Maybe it's self-worth.
Yeah.
Maybe it's whatever.
You don't have that cognitive ability to comprehend
Instead,
what's happening.
You think there is something wrong with me. You don't
Absolutely.
Think there's something wrong with my parents.
Yeah.
That doesn't come until maybe towards the teenage years. You think there's something wrong with me, and that thought will haunt you until you do take a proactive, like you said, approach to healing and challenging those thoughts that you had as a child. And I think a really incredible moment in your adult life is when you are able to recognize that I was wounded by my caregiver psychologically, and I want to sit and I want to speak to them about it because I want us both to be relieved of this blame, shame, guilt, resentment, pain, all of this. Because I know that a lot of mothers feel very guilty.
A lot of mothers also.
Even the most perfect mothers I know feel guilty. They're like, I wasn't good enough. I didn't do this enough. I didn't bake the bread from the sandwiches from scratch. You know, there's so much pressure.
Yeah. And remorse.
Remorse, absolutely.
It's because remorse and guilt are different.
Yeah, 100%.
Go hand in hand, but they're different.
Different, yeah. And what would be something like a tool that you would give to people who want to have that conversation as adults with their mothers? Is there a way that you would recommend approaching a conversation like that?
Of course, I can. However, sometimes that's not possible.
Okay.
Sometimes our mother, like myself, is not in this world.
Yeah.
Or sometimes mother are not present emotionally. Sometimes mother are suffering from some sort of, you know, personality disorder, sort of, that it doesn't give you the ability to
communicate.
To communicate your needs with them. Mm. But let's say you are one of those people that you have your mother here present in this world, and there are chances that you can communicate your needs with them. Your first step is to identify your needs. Because if you don't know what are your needs, you're just going around the circle of that shame and guilt and blame. Blaming it on someone else that I'm just not feeling good about our relationship.
Yes.
So what does it need to be fixed?
Mm.
You need to identify where does it need to be loved.
Yeah.
Where does it, because love is healing. So when I say healing is possible, because as my experience as a therapist, and personal experiences and, you know, studying the field, I know love is healing. Now, you're either lucky that you have your mother here, or you have a mother figure that can give you that love to heal you, or you have to give yourself that love to heal you.
And that could be kind of an internal journey that you go on rather than...
Completely an internal journey.
Yeah.
It's completely internal journey. Because healing can even happen...
Yeah.
...if your mom is not here.
Yes.
So what
you've
does that
experienced
mean?
That.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm still, you know, my healing is a journey.
Yeah.
I feel like there's so many aspects of my relationship with my mom... still needs healing, still needs to be understood, and I'm working on it. That's why I don't want people to feel disheartened if it's just not happening now.
Mm.
So the expectation often teenagers have, or I still have adult, you know, 50 years old adults that they have this particular expectation from their mother.
Yeah.
When I see that, I see a wounded child.
Mm.
And your mother doesn't have access to that inner child. So it's you that have access to your inner, to your core of yourself.
Yeah.
So you need to get there. You need to love you. You need to understand you. You need to identify your needs. You need to identify your strengths. You need to identify your weakness. All of that, once you've done it...
And support yourself.
And
love
support yourself.
Yourself
and love yourself. We are, doesn't matter how old we are, we're constantly looking for a mother.
Well, this is... the idea of reparenting yourself, right?
Correct.
So if you can give yourself those, if you can fulfill those needs internally, whether your mom is here with us anymore or not, you can have that sort of full circle moment of healing.
Yeah, but let's not say that you cannot expect anything externally. We still need external validation.
Yeah.
We still need to be loved from other people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to encourage people that, you know, bring your expectation to zero, not, you know, expect your partner to love
you. If you're going to have a relationship with anyone, a healthy relationship, then you have expectations and needs that have to be met.
Yes.
We were very lucky in that you and I were able to process and communicate and heal and lay it all out on the table and love and forgive and understand and empathize with each other and move forward, which is... that's a lottery ticket. That's wealth, unimaginable wealth. You can't buy that. For other people who want to attempt that, or people who have said, well, I tried talking to my mom, you know, I went to therapy and I learned all of these amazing tools and I tried, but I just can't get through to her.
Mm.
What are some common mistakes that you notice when those attempts of communication are being made?
It's her fault.
Mm. So blame. Yeah.
So blame.
Which causes someone to get defensive.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. So it's her fault. She doesn't understand me.
Mm.
When you are in an age that you are perfectly able to comprehend and put this sentence together, then I would say you need also to take responsibility for your relationship to yourself and to other people.
Yeah.
So if you are saying it in a way that your mom doesn't understand it, knowing that you are not 2 years old anymore, you're not 5 years old anymore, you are old enough to go and learn how I can communicate my needs to not only my mom, to my partner, to my friends,
to
anyone, that I am being heard and I'm being seen.
Yeah.
So therapy is a great gateway to healing your relationship with yourself and with others, because moving in inwards, it's also scary.
Yeah.
And people avoid it. It takes a lot of courage.
But it is also so empowering to realize, like, you know what, actually, it's not anyone else's fault, because I'm done with giving other people the power to dictate what my future is going to look like. I'm going to take the power over my own life.
Mm-hmm.
I can't control their life or what they did or how they chose to show up as a parent, but I can take control of my life and how I choose to show up in my life going forward.
Yeah. Moving and doing the work internally, it feels like going through this, like, dark, narrow...
In spirituality, they call it shadow work.
Shadow work, absolutely.
Yeah.
And Carl Jung talked about shadow quite a lot. But the thing is, those shadow come with us everywhere
we go. It's attached to us. Okay. Yeah.
So I have this metaphor that I use with my clients. I go, it depends where you locate yourself and what time of the day and the place you expose yourself, make your shadow either appear longer or smaller. So we just need to become aware of those shadows.
Yeah.
You know, what are... And we're kind of having this, like, negative connotation towards shadows.
Mm.
But they are real.
Yeah.
They're part of us. And if I'm going to say I'm going to start loving myself, then I can't just love one part of me and don't love the other part
of me. You can't ask for light and sunshine without getting shadows. Where there's light, there's shadows. That's just how it is.
Yes.
Your shadow exists because there's light in your life. So it's the yin and yang. They go together. I think where some people go wrong is that they...
avoiding them.
Yeah.
Don't want to see it. I am perfect.
Mm.
I don't have any shadow. Mm. It's you.
Yeah.
It's you that making me feel miserable. It's you that making me not being happy. So people constantly searching for this happiness and fulfillment in wrong places.
Yeah.
So there is no way people can feel liberated and free but identifying their shadows. Which then again, that takes me back to saying it's my responsibility to find who I am really.
Mm.
What are my shadows really? Where are my injuries? Where does it need some more love and attention so I can heal? Once you become aware of all of that,
yeah,
you can then go and talk to the most unavailable
person,
mother,
yeah,
in the world,
yeah,
and show yourself to them and go, hey, look at me. And what is that? That's vulnerability.
Yeah.
Look at me. I am wounded. I understand. See, this word, I understand that whatever shortcoming that I experience growing up, it's not intentional. Like, if you had the chance to be this loving, caring, generous,
yeah,
mother, would you choose otherwise?
I mean, and this is where the generational trauma aspect comes in, because there are people that'll be listening to this and they may have experienced very abusive mothers, and it did feel intentional. It wasn't just accidental mistakes. It felt intentional that this person that is meant to love you would wound you or expose you to dangers and damaging situations. And this is where the generational trauma comes along, because no one is just like that.
No.
What happened to that mother to make her that way? What happened to that mother's mother who made her that way?
Mm.
And so this is where the empathy aspect is your best friend. It's your best tool. It is your shield. It really provides context for you.
Mm.
And it's such a vehicle to forgiveness for me, empathy, because it's difficult not to forgive and to accept and to process and to release the behavior of someone who hurt you, when you can understand, when you can look back on this timeline and go, well, when she was a child, this is what her mother did to her.
And it's always the case.
It's always the case.
Always the case.
It's never in a vacuum. Like, it's never in an isolated incident that someone just woke up and decided to be an evil, abusive person.
The same thing. We're not waking up every day and say, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to do something to, you know, look, I was going to swear, so
mess
with my life.
Yes.
But then we go out and we do things. So it's not,
and this is
intention.
And this is not to excuse anyone's behavior, it's just to explain it and to make it a little bit easier for you to process and to stop internalizing that your parent or your parental figure let you down and hurt you. It's not your fault.
Mm.
It's not even their fault.
It's not their fault.
This is just a thing that has been passed down through generations of people.
Mm.
And you are in a lucky position now, the privilege of saying, you know what? This stops here.
Yeah.
I'm going to heal. I'm going to heal so that the next generation after me doesn't suffer the same thing I did.
You said it beautifully. And that's where when I say people need to grow up.
Mm.
So every person that coming and sitting in my office for counseling, they all need growing up.
Mm.
Some aspect of the psychology.
Yeah, of course.
It's been underdeveloped or disrupted and need to fully grow up.
And it's not just the people in your office, it's every single person in the street, every
the reality
single,
that
yeah.
every person in the street needs to go to
a
psychologist's
office. The reality
of
knowing that adults are just as confused as teenagers and children. And
I actually think children are not confused.
Are better off.
They know what they want. They know what they want. They know how much they want it. But it's the process of becoming an adult make us, confused. And if we don't get help and support, we may remain confused for the rest of our life.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do, we're going to put ourselves into a defined box that gives us a more certain way of living, then we are not happy.
Yeah.
So if we can come in terms with that life is ever evolving,
mm-hmm.
so I can also evolve, I can also grow, I can also change, I can also develop myself an aspect of me, psychologically, we physically constantly, hopefully not in size, but age, we're growing and we're becoming older and hopefully wiser by experiencing life. So, again, back to that question, you go, what can I do? What I recommend to people to do is to start knowing who you are, start knowing what you want and what are your needs.
And we spoke a little bit about the importance of empathy during the healing and forgiveness process.
And compassion. Because compassion and empathy are different, by the way.
Okay, yeah.
Compassion is kindness on steroid.
Yeah.
Compassion is kindness in action.
Mm.
When you're acting like a kind person.
Yeah.
You're not just saying, I'm kind.
Mm. But you're just thinking kind thoughts.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So I think empathy is having those kind thoughts.
Empathy is step one.
Yes.
It's really hard to go from resentment to compassion.
Yeah.
If your mom, and I'm not going to swear here, but if she messed you up and failed at her job and you are a very damaged, broken person as a direct result, it's difficult to go from that to I'm going to be compassionate when that person might never have been compassionate to you.
And I am not encouraging you to compassionate about someone that was in your mind abusive.
Yeah.
Compassion start within.
Internally. Mm.
So you need to start to, if you like it, like how you say it, have empathy about the whole thing and start becoming compassionate about yourself. Identify. I am not just, I have clients in my office that I said, what brought you here to my office? And she said, I'm quite needy.
Mm.
I'm quite this and I'm quite that. And I said, relax. Why are you calling yourself all this negative? You identifying with all these negative things. You are not needy. You need love.
Yeah, everyone does. Yeah.
And why? Why you need it so much? Why you need it more than another person?
Mm.
Because you didn't receive enough of it.
Mm.
So I actually had this, I gave her a cup of water. You know, the first one, she take it politely. And I pour another cup of water. She hold it with her second hand. And then I pour a third cup of water. And when I was going to give it to her, she realized, she goes, oh, well, what are you doing? I don't need it.
Mm.
I said, see, if you were getting enough love, you don't need it.
Mm.
You say, thank you.
But if you were starved of it,
if you're
dying of thirst, yeah,
you would manage to get the third cup from me as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So if anybody calls you needy, don't just accept that.
Yeah.
Don't call yourself needy either. You just understand your need hasn't been met yet.
Mm.
And as an adult, you need to mother yourself.
Mm.
We're looking for mother constantly. We're looking for mother in our partners.
Yeah.
We're looking for mother in our friendship. Mm. We're looking... Because what are the quality of mothers again?
Nurturing, yes.
Caring, protecting.
Yeah.
So
compassionate,
warm. Understanding, see us, you know, feel
forgive
us,
accept
forgive us,
yeah.
Mirror us.
Mm.
You know, that aspect of mother, that like if I'm sad, I expect my mom to look at me in the eyes with those sad eyes and go, I can see you.
Because who else, like, that's, you know, when you think about the person who should be able to do that the most, it's your mom.
It's your mom. Therefore, when you are looking for a partner, a good partner is someone, of course, we're not going on a date and go, hey, I'm looking for a mother. But we are looking
for those
for
qualities.
Those mother kind qualities in our partner.
Yeah.
You know, when you're having a fall, what a mother, good mother does, come to rescue. Because, darling, you know, you had a fall. Not having another smack on your head, because why you're not walking straight to have a fall. So, mother role is so important. I think we had this conversation with each other the other day. I said, all of us, men, women, people that are not mother yet, we all have a mother in us, a mothering in us, which the sooner we access it, the sooner we accept that feminine, nurturing aspect of our psyche, we then can live more wholeheartedly and we feel more whole, we feel like better people, we feel like better person and all of that.
That's nice. I think it's beautiful.
I think it's beautiful. So get yourself a therapist.
Yes. This is a lot of work.
If it's okay, we listen to this podcast, what's next? You need help going through that dark,
it's a lot
narrow
of work.
Gate.
Yes.
Identifying your shadows is the first step to identifying who you are, really. Strength. Often I ask people, what are your strengths? They're not able to name it.
So do the work. Do the internal work. Love yourself. Get to this place of self-love and acceptance and reparenting compassion. And then go take that, everything that you've learned, take that into the conversation that you want to have with your mom. If you're lucky enough to be able to sit there and have that conversation.
Yeah.
And go into it from a place of forgiveness.
And again,
regardless of their reaction, regardless of, and look, this is a universal experience. You experienced that, I experienced it, where you go to say something to your mom and they say, oh, well, I must be the worst mother in the world. Yeah. And they project that feeling of guilt
as well. Because in their mind, in their head, they were not bad mother. You know, if a mother that worked two jobs to provide roof over your head, in her mind,
she's
a hero.
Yeah.
She sacrifices her life to put a roof in your head.
Well, look, we all know the story of, you know, my dad was great. My dad was so relaxed and he was so
chill,
happy, and he was chill,
funny.
And he used to let us do everything, and he loved us. And our mom was, God, I don't know why, but she was so stressed, and she was always so angry, and she was always so on edge, and she was always so negative and controlling.
Is that what you were thinking about?
That's
me?
What everyone. That's honestly, I'm telling you, that's what everyone thinks. And then you get a little bit older, and then you go, oh, now I know why my dad was so relaxed and why my mom was so stressed out. Obviously, this is not
everybody, absolutely.
But you do, certainly for me, when I became the age that you were when you had kids, which was 20 years old, your frontal lobe hadn't developed.
Absolutely.
When I hit that age, it was a lot easier to have empathy and be like, you know what, if I was in charge of a newborn human being and in charge of their development at 20 years old, I probably would have made a lot of mistakes. And you didn't even have the internet, and you couldn't just, you know, you didn't have the luxury of going and Googling parenting tips.
On top of that, when you were just a newborn, I realized that my husband was cheating on me as well.
The abusive relationship.
All of that needs to be, you know,
that's the context.
Factors.
Yeah, that's the context
exactly,
of the behavior.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So understand the context.
And that's where empathy becomes a tool for you, and forgiveness becomes a tool for you, not for the other person.
Exactly.
Not for your mom
Absolutely.
Or your dad or your ex or whoever it is. Forgiveness is for you. It is to make, you're going on a journey, that's what life is. It's to make your journey lighter and more enjoyable. That's it. That's all it's there for. And empathy is a wonderful vehicle to forgiveness. It really speeds the process up. When I began to experience empathy for you instead of just blame and shame and all of those feelings, my whole perspective shifted.
Yeah.
And I was able to forgive you before we even had a conversation together. The conversation that we were able to have was just the cherry on top, and it was a blank slate for our future. But for everything that had happened in the past, I had this amazing internal experience.
So let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
What happened for you that gives you the permission to understand and then have empathy for your mother? Like, what happened internally for you?
I just actually thought about it for the first time. Like when I hit 20 and above, obviously you had me at 20 and then you had another child at 26. And during both of those eras in my life, I just took a few minutes, really. Because logically, if you just stop for a few minutes and you think about it, it's hard not to empathize with another human being. No matter, and I carried a lot of resentment for you. For whatever, a million and one perspectives and misunderstandings and miscommunications and whatever it was.
Your need as an infant and as a teenager wasn't
fulfilled. My very, very limited perspective of the world and of the roles of a mom and a father and whatever. If you actually just sit there and take the time and you take the emotion out for just a minute, just one minute, take the emotion out and just pretend that it's not you and your mom. These are just two other characters that you're looking at. It was impossible for me not to empathize with you. It was impossible not to forgive you for your, you know, quote unquote mistakes or whatever it was. It was hard not to just view you as a human, as a young woman, a girl. You were a girl.
Yeah.
And you had a baby.
Mm.
And it was just like, unskilled, good luck.
Uneducated.
It's like plucking someone from the street and making them the CEO or making them the president of a country. Here you go. You've got more responsibility than anyone, any single person ever should.
Yeah.
You know, back in the day, you had 50 people helping you raise a child. That's gone. Yeah. And it's even worse today. It's even worse for mothers today. It's just difficult.
Because back then, if your mother wasn't enough, you had your grandmother. You had role.
You had
mother figures
to
give you that love and attention.
Yeah. And you also had, you know, like the woman on the train that you were talking about who was on her phone. You know, she's obviously overwhelmed. That's what humans do when they get overwhelmed. Mm. They want to switch their brains off. That woman wouldn't have been alone on the train with her kid. She would have had someone to look after the kid while she went and did the groceries. She would have had someone look after the kid when she wanted to take a shower. So just that support would have been there. And for you, we were refugees at the time, so we were alone in a new country. So when I looked at it rationally and logically and just viewed you as not my mom, but viewed you as a girl that I would meet, a 20-year-old girl that I would meet, what I would say to that 20-year-old girl with the child is the conversation I ended up having with you in my head. This was not something we had in real life. This was me and my journal, me and my thoughts. What I would say to that girl is, it's not your fault.
Yeah.
It's okay. Yeah. You're actually a human being first. Then you're a mom, and human beings are inherently flawed, and human beings are emotional, and human beings make mistakes, and human beings are traumatized and damaged.
Yeah.
You grew up in the Islamic Republic during a horrific, you know, revolution that The Handmaid's Tale is based off of. So just all of those factors for me, it was difficult not to arrive to a place of forgiveness for you. And even if you did continue to hurt me, and we'll hurt each other in the future, we're human beings. For everything that happened in the past, I was able, that context was a deeply healing experience.
Amazing. So if you're listening to this podcast,
go on that journey.
You are a younger person and listening to this, and you have issue with your mom, it's what you said, Nisha, is so powerful and it's so beautiful, because to just take a step to empathize with that person you call mom, that she is definitely coming into this role with her own shortcomings, with her own psychological wounds, with her own, you know, being unskilled, uneducated, unexperienced person. You definitely were not born with a booklet to say, you know, this is who I am, this is how you need to treat me. Especially for first child.
First child, yeah.
I'm also first child, so poor us.
Poor us.
This first
we're
child,
the crash dummies, yeah.
But also if you're a mother and listening to this podcast and you are longing to have a healthy relationship with your kids, your daughters, your sons, it's from a perspective of a mother and a professional in the field, I also had to swallow a big pill to go to my girls and say, hey, I realize that I've done a lot of mistake. I realize that so many of my actions and behaviors that I thought I'm doing because I'm a good mother.
Or I thought were justified at the time. Or,
absolutely. Yeah. It was, I now understand that they may have caused some psychological wounds or injury for you.
Mm-hmm.
And hey, we may didn't have a good past, but now, going to future, can we start having a better relationship with each other?
I love that. I love that. And yes, just to reiterate that, what a powerful thing for a mother to do.
Yeah.
It's like the final sacrifice, really. But it is so
imagine
liberating.
All your life, you're telling yourself, I'm a great mother. Now you have to swallow the pill and go, hey, I understand. I wasn't such a good mother that I thought I was.
Yeah.
But can you, again, it's a start from that moment. So one of our needs from a mother is to be respected.
Mm.
Okay. And to be seen and to be respected. So you go to your child and you go, can I please have another chance to have, you know, heal our relationship?
Yeah.
Can I please? Can you allow me in your life? Can you give me the ground to show you that, to show you what I know now that I didn't know back then?
That's beautiful. That's beautiful.
And that when you're showing your vulnerability, it's pretty difficult not being
that's
seen.
Your shadow work as the mother.
Yes.
It takes two. This is a two-way this is a relationship now in the future, and you're building it from the ground up. This is how you meet in the middle. You both do that shadow work. You both take accountability and responsibility. You both have empathy and love and compassion. You can't fail. You can't fail. Even when things come up in the future, or even when mistakes are made again, those elements, those foundations will keep your relationship stable.
Yeah. And don't give up on love. Do not give up on love. Do not give up on asking for love or giving love, because that's all you need to heal your relationship. And here you probably need a very much like child kind of mind to keep going and keep asking, can I have ice cream? Can I have ice cream? Can I have ice cream? And finally, the answer is, okay, you can have ice cream if you do your homework. Mm-hmm. You can have ice cream if you have a little nap. You can have, so it could be conditional at your first steps, but eventually you get to experience a beautiful, healed relationship. So don't give up when asking. If you, I talk to mothers and I go, oh, I've done that. Keep doing it again and again. Your daughter, your son, your child will see you and will see the vulnerable side of you if you also can see what they need, not what you think they need, what they really need. If you see that, they can also see you. And just a tip, how you can tell someone you can see them, this is a $1 million question.
Mm-hmm.
Mirror them.
Okay.
Mirror them. So they know you can see them by mirroring them.
Yeah.
So if they are sad, you say, oh, I can see you are sad. You're not going to cheer them up. You need to mirror them. If your daughter comes from high school and it's down, you're not saying, let's go shopping to cheer you up. You mirror them.
Yeah.
I see you are sad, and you mirror that sadness.
Because
that's...
You match their energy,
You match their energy. Like, this is simple.
Mm-hmm.
This is a simple tip. Like,
it's simple when you describe it that way.
How many mothers out there want to just go and cheer their son or daughter that come from a school and goes, I've been bullied. So they either get angry, let's go and, you know, give these people a lesson,
mm-hmm.
or they try to cheer you up, or they try to say, that's nothing, don't worry about it.
Mm.
So mirror the feeling.
Mm.
If they're coming anxious, mirror that.
Mm. Oh my just God, have I can empathy see and hold
that
space.
You're anxious.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a very
that's
quick,
beautiful.
Short tips that can help people to feel they are being seen and they are being heard.
And if you would like a more in-depth, guided, step-by-step healing journey, come to our retreat.
Yes.
We are
and
going
to... Because that's 2 days. It's
yes.
It's not 45 minutes podcast.
Yes.
It's a 2 days talking about your... You know, this important subject.
And there's activities and there are workshops and it's fun and it's healing. There's so many benefits to actually taking the time and making that investment
mm.
in your relationship. Mm. We will be running this generational healing girls getaway, mother, daughter, and you can come alone. You can come with your mom. You can come with your daughter. You can come with your sister, you can come with your friends.
Hmm.
This is available for all women, whether your mom is with us or not. This is an incredible healing opportunity, and
yeah.
we would love to
yeah.
see you there.
Yeah, over two days, I hopefully be able to also speak about those invisible effect of not being mothered sufficiently. We definitely will be talking about some... psychological complex that people develop
mm-hmm.
during this time that it's you probably can't put a name on it or put a
mm-hmm.
finger on it, but once you know you go
oh
my god
makes
yeah. sense now why I jump from bad relationship to another bad relationship, why I'm not happy, why I'm this, why I'm that. So hopefully we can see you in some of our retreats. Usually people keep coming back for more, but yeah.
And visit our website if you'd like to learn more about this retreat and all of our upcoming retreats. It's www.theprojectofyou.com.au.
I also will put those questions that I said you can ask yourself to identify some of your needs that hasn't been met, which we either put it on our social media account so you can... have access to that little quiz that hopefully easily can identify some of your needs. Then you can definitely take those needs that you identify in yourself to your therapist and work on those easier than just going around circle and finding
yes.
what are my needs, what are my needs, what are my needs. So that'll be a quick quiz for you then.
Absolutely. And we are looking forward to catching up with you on the next podcast episode.
Yes.
Bye
for
now.
Looking forward to it. Bye.